Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy. Come on.
And we are going to be covering season one of Dairy Girls.
Oh my gosh! Yay! So exciting! We're actually really excited to be doing Dairy Girls, but when we started actually going through the seasons, they just go by so quickly that it made sense to do a whole season as an episode. So that's what we're doing. And we have our usual disclaimers, which include their, yeah, for sure, we'll be cursing, because if we're quoting, I don't know, Michelle, there's going to be cursing for sure. And also there will be spoilers, I guess.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it to just spoilers within that season, but if we divert, we don't make any promises.
No promises. And also that there are things to drink. What are you having to drink, Natalie?
I'm having what I'm calling an English rosé. Because I love James, my English rose, and I want the best for him because he's a dear. He's even better in the later seasons. I will go ahead and say he's even better, but I do love him. And his confusion at all this bad shit insanity, I love it.
The joy of being Irish and Catholic, which I should like just put this out there. Yes, we are Irish and Catholic. I'm half, although if you look at my actual genetic makeup, it would say I'm 2/3, which is kind of creepy because my dad's not. So I definitely got a lot of the Irish genes, some of which were passed on to Natalie. And so,
well, dad's pretty Irish as well.
He has a good chunk in there. So there is a good bit of the Irish, and we are, of course, Catholic. So this hit home on multiple levels. Natalie went to Catholic school. So
I did indeed, and the uniforms brought me back.
Yeah, so, and there were nuns.
They were nice.
Yeah, unlike Sister Michael, but we're going to get to all of that. But you are having your English rose, which I think is hilarious that you...
English rosé.
Rosé, excuse me. I am having, we didn't have any Jameson and ginger in the house. So I thought, hey, a variation on the sparkling Duchess. I am going to have Jameson, ginger, and Prosecco, which I'm having. It's actually super tasty. I really like this combination because we do always have Jamesons in the house. This is, again, one of those things that got passed down from generations. Natalie probably didn't know that, but it's a thing.
I did not.
It is a thing. And that is really where we are right now. So we haven't really decided a structure on going.
Let's just go episode by episode. And just go
yeah, but we're going to do it super fast because these are fast. And that is the great thing about this show. It is so fast paced and just you get a sense of the characters very, very quickly.
Let's get into season one, episode one. There's narration about Erin Quinn, our protagonist, and her hometown of Derry in Northern Ireland, or Londonderry, depending on your persuasion. And her cousin Orla was actually reading it. And she's in her room asleep and she wakes up to Orla reading her diary.
Which has the freak out you might expect.
Yes. Which is so, it's so funny that she wrote in her diary, "Hi, my name is Erin Quinn. I'm from Derry." Blah, 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 blah. Like a narration in the TV
show.
Like
she's writing to a friend or something.
She's over dramatic and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Erin complains to her parents about it. Her grandpa is watching the news. He's played by Barristan Selmy. We love that.
One of the things that cannot be overstated about the performances in this and the casting even is
it's nothing short of fantastic.
Everyone just disappears into their role, but the accents are fucking incredible.
I have not been to Northern Ireland, so I can't confirm.
Well, I can say I haven't been to Northern Ireland. I've been to the Republic of Ireland, but I can say that the accents are, and you don't expect it. Like Barristan Selmy does a great English accent on Game of Thrones. It just shows the level of acting that we're getting from this show that you wouldn't expect anything like that. And it's so rapid fire and funny. Oh my God, funny.
Yes. There is a bomb on a bridge near the school. It's the first day of school. And
this is during the Troubles.
Yes, in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And so they're concerned that the bus will be rerouted. And Mary, the mom, is just like, oh, I can't take it anymore. They have to leave for school. Just go.
Well, but what's really funny is Orla's mom also lives with them. So again, this is one of those Irish Catholic households.
So let's just lay out the family tree right here. So Mary and Jerry, hilariously, who live in Derry, they are married, much to Joe's chagrin. And Joe is her.
They've been married for 17 years, and Joe still is not okay with it.
Yes. Joe is the father of Mary and her sister Sarah, who also lives with them. Sarah is the mother of Orla, who is cousins with Erin, who is the daughter of
Mary and Jerry.
Mary and Jerry also have a small, a young toddler as well. You barely see her. I don't know why she's there.
Yeah.
But
she is a prop.
But she is there. And so I often forget.
Yeah.
Anyway, Erin, Joe hates his son-in-law a lot for no reason, really.
There's so much, like, super funny background here, too. Like, Sarah, Orla's mom, is complaining. You know, they're all talking about going to school, and she's complaining, I have a tanning bed appointment. I'm going to have to, if the bridge is knocked out, then I'm not going to be able to get to my tanning bed appointment, and it's going to take all day. And she's whining about, she's very, very superficial. She's very into appearances.
She's also not that bright, along with Orla. Erin tries to wear a denim jacket instead of her uniform blazer, but Mary immediately makes her, she's just like, you're wearing your uniform. And then Erin's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, I'm going to get the wooden spoon.
My mother actually beat us with a wooden spoon. This is actually a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, we don't have enough time to unpack all of that. No, they go to school and they run into their friend Claire, who's being played by Nicole Coughlin.
Which is another one of the reasons why we did this show now in the midst of all the season three stuff.
Right. So, but she is, this performance is like amazing. So here she is, 30 years old as an actress. You'd never guess it. And she is so the insecure high school, stressed, Catholic high school girl. And she's got her own jean jacket on.
And because what the plan was for all of the girls in the group, which is comprised of Erin, her cousin Orla, their friend Claire, and their friend Michelle, they were all going to wear denim jackets together instead of wearing their uniform blazer because they're rebellious. And so when Claire sees that they're, because they were going to be individuals this year, and so when Claire sees that Erin and Orla aren't wearing theirs, she's like, well, I'm not going to be an individual on my own. It's like,
throws it off
and takes it off.
It is hilarious. But she freaks out about everything. That is a character trait for Claire that you will see over and over again. She is currently on a fest for the Ethiopians.
Kamal.
Yeah, they go to what I was trying to describe as what is a bodega in Northern Ireland, but it's called the Wee Shop.
Dennis's Wee Shop.
And they go in, they're looking at buying snacks or whatever for the day. And there's this whole big discussion about how Claire is not going to buy anything. And she gets defensive about this kid named Kamal.
She's doing the fast for him.
And the guy, what's his name?
Dennis.
Whose shop it is like the soup Nazi. And so
he absolutely hates children.
Right. And he's like, if I say it's the law, it's the law. And Claire's kind of like, I have to give all of me money to Kamal. And who the fuck is Kamal? A kid in Ethiopia. Oh, get out.
Yeah. And so outside the Wee Shop, Erin sees her crush David and is very, very awkward, and she fake laughs.
David Donnelly. She has a whole fake conversation with,
and Claire's like, what are you doing?
And she's talking to.
Yeah. What are you laughing at? And then The guy is putting up posters for his band's gig that night at 6 or something. Mm. And so he's doing that. And she's just like, oh, is that a gig for your band? And he's like, yeah, you should come. Well, and she's like, you're inviting me? And he's like, well, I'm inviting all of you. And she's just like, oh my God, but you're inviting me, really? And then they go to the bus stop where they meet up with their friend Michelle. And Michelle also has her cousin in town, James.
But she's talking about a movie they just watched, which is clearly Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
But you don't know that. She just describes, like, and she keeps saying motherfucker.
Motherfucker is her new thing.
Yeah, it is her word of the day kind of thing. So she's talking about saying, hey, what's up, motherfuckers? And you hear in the background, they go to get on the bus and they hear that that surf song that is kind of the background to Pulp Fiction, the guitar riff that is part of that. Michelle wants to sit in the background. She's trying to eject the girls.
First of all, she introduces them to her cousin.
Oh,
James,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yes,
James. Who is British, and they're like, oh, poor thing. It's like, oh, it's the worst thing you could possibly be, especially if you're in Northern Ireland and right now. And so he's like, well, yeah, no, my ma, she, sorry. Michelle says, oh yeah, remember when my aunt went to get that abortion in England and never came back? Well, she didn't get the abortion. And he's like, I didn't actually know that. And so they get on the bus.
It's very funny.
James is just there punching back.
He really is. So funny. But Michelle then tries
James's mom got a divorce and sent James to Derry, where he's going to be going to the all girls Catholic school because everyone would beat him up at the boys' school.
For being English. Or for being gay. And this is a running joke throughout.
He's not even gay.
He's like, I'm not, what gay thing? What are you talking
about? We'll talk about that later.
But anyway, so they go and Michelle's trying to eject the girls in the back row, and one of the girls is like not having it. And they find out that Big Mandy is that girl's sister, and they're all like, oh shit, Big Mandy can beat the crap out of us.
She's just a taller child.
Yeah. Soldiers stop the bus, and this is a vehicle for us to find out that Michelle is horny all the time for all men, period.
Yes.
Then get to school, and Prissy Jenny, who is
Jenny is her name. She is Prissy.
Yes. But she's a prefect. She's kind of like Percy the prefect.
Percy, very, you know,
very, very Percy from Harry Potter.
And she's very fake.
And the way she transitions any sentence is anywho.
Yeah, she has a very annoying voice, but the actress plays her perfectly. It's a Jenny. Yes. And so she brings up the incident on the bus because she found out through the grapevine about it. And she's like, I don't want to have to report you guys. It's the first day of school and all that stuff. But she's holding it over them. And so Michelle flips her off and she's like, okay, well, I'm going to the headmistress or the head nun or
and
whatever.
And reporting you. And Claire is freaking out. I'll do anything to keep from being reported.
And then we go to a very cheesy assembly where Jenny is the head of the assembly and she's trying to like use a potted plant as a visual metaphor for their growth in the for the year.
Then we get to meet Sister Michael.
Sister Michael
is
an icon.
The most cynical sister you have ever imagined.
Prayer works and she's a nun.
We're not even there yet. So she's like, all of that is not true. Reality is brutal. And she points out, and you are English flower. Whatever.
No, he says, and unfortunately, James happens to be English.
He needs to wash your, you need to wash your back.
And speaking of washing your back, this guy needs to wash his back.
Yeah.
Aaron then later on asks Michelle to go with her to the gig.
Oh, and there are all these asides, though. Like, Michelle talks, there's a comment like, oh, we're not going to treat him like some other, there was a male who had been at the school.
Oh, yeah,
he was a student teacher. And Michelle's like, oh, yeah, someone tried to dry ride him. And that's not going to happen to you because you're gay.
And he's like, I'm not, though. And so Aaron asks Michelle to go with her to the gig that night. And she eventually agrees, even though she knows what Aaron's going to do. She's going to stand in the back, laugh awkwardly, and not talk to him. And so then the group is sent to the principal's office, which is Sister Michael's office.
I love the announcement, though. It ends with, and that wee English fella.
Yeah. There are no boys' restrooms. And and he is very much in need of one, and keeps asking about them, and
no,
he's
one
like,
will
well, can
accommodate him. I need accommodation.
And he's like, hey, can I use the girls' ones then? And they're like, no, fuck off, James. You're not going to go into the girls' bathroom. And then he asks Sister Michael if she can use the faculty bathroom. And she's like, no. and so he's like, but I need one. And she's like, suck it up. And then
while they're in there, though, Claire.
Right beforehand, sorry. Claire is like, Aaron. It's either Aaron or Claire. They're like, oh, we're going to have to stick together back there. We're going to have each other's backs and not, like, rat anybody out. And then everyone's like, okay. Claire immediately rats every single one out. And she says, Michelle! It was Michelle!
Right.
It was all Michelle's fault!
And this is Sister Michael's response.
If anyone should be punished, it should be Michelle!
And this is Sister Michael's response. I think it's safe to say we all lost a bit of respect for you there, Claire.
It's so good. And so the girl who they threatened earlier, Tina, she doesn't snitch on them. She's like,
I don't care,
whatever. They tried to do something, they fucked it up, whatever. Yeah. And so doesn't accept their apology, which means that they do need to be punished in some way.
So they have to get a detention.
And they are missing the gig because when does the school day end?
It's 6 p.m. and they're in detention.
Past 6 p.m. and they're still in detention.
With this ancient nun. But Orla, and I love this, Orla is this comic really, I mean, not that they're all completely committed, but Orla is doing her book report on Aaron's diary.
That is insane.
It is hilarious. And so Aaron starts to fight about it, and the ancient sister, like, awakes from whatever she awakens from, and she takes the diary, and she also takes Michelle's lipstick. And
even though it's discontinued,
right? And but she takes lipstick,
but
for
also
herself and puts it in her purse.
Meanwhile, James has to go to the bathroom, and Claire is starving. Mm-hmm. Even though it is, and like, even though Michelle's like, you basically just skipped lunch, and but Claire is like getting almost like hypnotic levels.
Yeah.
And so that points to bad things, Claire. Yeah. And there's this one line of James being like, but I really have to go. Like, he's like making a face at Michelle. It's getting painful. And Michelle turns around and says, what part of me not giving a flying fuck are you struggling with exactly?
Yet the reality is she sounds exactly like me.
Yes. The nun seems to be sleeping. And so Michelle takes her lipstick back. James goes to the bathroom in the plant at the corner of the room.
And Orla like grabs the old nun's head, and you can see.
Well, Claire eats the nun's sandwich. Aaron tries to sneak out the window, and Orla is trying to like mess with the nun's head. But the nun is dead.
And Sister Michael walks in on this tableau. It is just hilarious. They're all like frozen in place with like Aaron halfway out the window. James is peeing in the trash can. It is so fucking funny. And they all look like deer in the headlights.
It's
it
very
is
good.
So funny.
The parents get called. James's mom is going back to London without him. And the nun, so Aaron's like, well, how old was the nun? And Sister Michael's like, she would have been 99 on Friday or 98 on Friday.
Yeah,
and Aaron's like, and you don't think that has something to do with this? And so, but like, I think Jo says struck down in her pride.
Orla starts quoting Aaron's diary at her as like
it seems. It seems like a voiceover, but it's just Orla reading it.
And the response is, "I'm going to ram that thing
so far up your arse." And that's how the episode ends. So best parts.
I mean, I gotta say the writing is like a number one for me. That tableau is so fucking funny. But one of the things I love about this show is much like the early seasons of Ted Lasso, it knows when to end.
Yes.
It's
short and sweet.
It's short, it's sweet. It has these little vignettes that are strung together really beautifully by this patter, the language. But it is really incredible writing. It's great.
Yeah. The lines and the characters, like everything. Like, yeah. I really love everything. So, worst parts, Jenny.
Jenny is the only thing I wrote down. Jenny's
like, I wrote down Michelle for like trying to do that shit, but like, honestly, yeah, she's fine. Hilarious. She's funny.
What grade did you give this?
It's an A.
It's an A.
I will say, And this is like a fun little prelude to things to come. There is an A plus for me in this series. And we'll talk about that.
So, all right, so let's go on to episode two.
And you probably know which episode it is, it's amazing. All right. Season one, episode two, the school choir sings the song from Love Actually.
I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. It's Jenny singing. I'm so sad.
And Sister Michael is like, did I not ban this song? She's trying to ban songs about love.
Everything about love is
and
so
she's like,
funny.
Add the song to the list. The European trip will be to Paris this year, and the girls are excited.
But Jenny's like in charge of it, so it's gonna suck. Anyway.
Well, not necessarily, then Erin starts going, like, she sees a popular girl signing up for the trip, and she starts going off about all the things she hates about this girl. The girl comes up to Erin. And she's like, hey, none of my friends are going. Do you want to, like, pair up with me for the trip? And she's just like, oh, my gosh, yes!
And it's so such it's like, a Crescent the Capper kind of thing.
Yeah. And then it's also 375 quid for the trip.
Per person.
And so they're concerned that they're not going to have enough money. But Jenny's like, just dip into your trust fund like me.
And they're all like, trust fund? What's a trust fund?
They've
never even heard of a trust fund.
So they go to their respective parents and Nerd is like, do I have a trust fund?
And they're all like, fuck no.
And they're also, her mom's like, yeah, we're short on funds.
Sarah Orla's mom doesn't know that they don't have a trust fund. It's like, you know, unless you save for, you get the impression, and I don't know if they explain it later, that Sarah was like one of these, she either had a failed marriage or, you know, had...
Well, she had Orla at some point. We don't know the circumstances.
But you get the sense that there's a little oddity there. So, anyway. Jerry is trying to take orders. While they're having this discussion about trust...
Orders for fast food.
Fast food orders. And Uncle Kong calls. Uncle Kong is... hilarious.
We all have an Uncle Colin who won't shut the fuck up and won't get to the point of the story. And the way they introduce this is amazing. So Erin answers the phone. And she's like, oh, can someone else talk to him? And so Mary ends up going over to talk to Uncle Colin. And she finds out that two people invaded his home, stole his van, and tied him to the radiator.
Which he actually manages to make boring.
Yes.
We don't know how
he made this extremely interesting story so boring.
Right. So, I mean, he's at the police station. They invite him over. And there's all of this running background of how many bags of chips they need. And so...
Five, at least, Jerry.
Well, after Uncle Colin's going, oh, we need seven for sure. Mm-hmm. And Joe, as part of this, keeps talking about, oh, you're such a cheapskate. You know, it's just like going
he's
on.
Fine. So he's nitpicking everything about Jerry.
We did not mention for the first episode, it is a running thing that the background music for this is like super awesome.
So, oh, it's so good.
It segues into Salt and Pepper Push It, which is fabulous at this point. Many episodes have cranberry songs in them. And
Madonna.
I mean, this has a great, great, great soundtrack. If we fail to mention it, I apologize.
The kids go to the restaurant and
they talk about selling organs.
First of all, the girls meet up with their friend, with Michelle and with all their friends, and they realize none of them have trust funds, and so they're like, fuck, now we have to like get jobs. And so they go to the fast food place that James doesn't like. He doesn't like how greasy it is. He goes on a whole rant later. It's not important. But they see that there's a bulletin board full of little like tab notices, like little jobs, like mowing the lawn or whatever, washing the dog, a tutor, that kind of stuff. And so they look at the bulletin board and they see other people like taking little tabs from them and all that stuff, and they're like, oh my gosh, other people know about this, and like they wouldn't. And so
we should note that the owner of this greasy spoon is Fanula.
And so they get their food after this. James like goes on this whole rant about how awful greasy food is. And so they leave And we go over to Uncle Colm telling the story in the most boring way possible.
And but we do find out in the story that the people who had either threatened to or had talked about blowing up the bridge in Derry were the same people who tied him up and took his van.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're like famous adjacent. Yeah, like yes. You're the victim of this horrific whatever.
Which excites Sarah. And so then the kids go, like, they hear a knock on the door. The kids go to see who it is, and it's Michelle, and they stole the notice board, the entire board.
Michelle was drunk. Michelle was drunk doing this.
Yeah, and she was just like, why were you drunk? And she's just like, I'm always drunk. And so they start dividing up the jobs, and like she's talking, like
Aaron's like the manager. Like,
yeah, she's okay, like, all right, tutoring. That should be Claire because she's the smartest. And Claire's like, because I'm the smartest, and she's just like, sure,
yeah,
and that in some respects, and so just to like give herself a little bit more credit.
Yeah.
And then I think. It was something else.
Fight about it. Like Orla and James are fighting about who should do the dog walking.
Who should do like the mowing the lawn, like a manly job, like a lifting thing.
And
Aaron's like, I'm giving it to Orla.
She's like, I'm actually going.
And they're just like very barely James. And so then they run into Fionnuala and on the street, and they get suspended. She knows that it's them who took the Biltmore.
Yeah, they're banned from getting food from Fionnuala's, and they're all pissed about it, but James is excited.
Yeah.
But it is just super, super funny about how this is well written this is. It's just really great. But Claire is pissed because, you know, she's just pissed, and it's clear that also Claire told on them about the
she told her dad, and that's how Fionnuala found out. And then the owner makes the Fionnuala, she makes the children clean the restaurant to make up for it instead of them getting suspended.
They start out excited,
they do everything wrong, and like even James like uses mayonnaise as a cleaner on the windows, and he's like, oh, it's mayonnaise. It's like, of course it is. And then Michelle is upstairs and drinking Fionnuala's alcohol and playing really loud music, and they all are like, hey, what are you doing? And then she's like, oh, let's take some shots, and she lights the shots on fire and then drops the shots, and the curtains start burning.
Yeah.
And James is at least smart enough to be able to put out a fire with the fire extinguisher, and
but Mary and Sarah get called to like help them deal with the issue. And
they're watching the newscast about Colm and his story.
And Sarah's basically acting as the translator for Colm because he has a very thick accent and he just
so slow.
He's super slow. So Sarah's like, and then this happened, and then that happened. So Mary and Sarah go, and their decision is, let's tie the kids up and pretend, you know, that what happened to Colm happened to them, and that's why the place caught fire. But it turns out Fionnuala gets home before Mary and Sarah can leave. And so she is onto the whole thing. And the episode basically ends with never gonna get it. And they have to eat pizza instead of greasy stuff.
Oh, those poor people. Best parts. I'm gonna say Colm, Claire, and the family.
I like Claire pissed at Aaron. I think that is a really funny dynamic, and it comes back a lot. I do like Michelle being an idiot because she's always full of herself and being an idiot. And I do love Uncle Colin. He's very funny.
Worst part is Michelle making really stupid decisions.
Yeah.
And getting everyone else in trouble for them.
Yes. So what grade did you give this?
A-?
I gave it a B.
I think it's actually B+ for me. I think it's funny. I just think that it moves a little bit slower, and it's not as like there aren't as many like really quotable lines for me.
No,
all right, season 1, episode 3. Erin is in mourning for her childhood dog Toto. They are also studying for GCSEs, which are their like standardized
tests. She's crying over a picture which has Joe, her grandfather, and the dog. And at first you're thinking she's crying over her grandfather, but no, it's just the dog.
So Claire has had 5 or 23 energy drinks. And also everyone thinks James is gay. So there is this part where you're getting, like, especially Joe thinks that James is gay because James spent the night at their house doing the study stuff.
It's okay because he's gay.
It's okay because he's gay. But like Joe's also like, but he could still rape them. And we're just like, whoa, okay. Joe hates this one woman who cheated at bingo. How she cheated? And he's like, it's in the stamper.
She has a stamper that cheated at bingo.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
And they are worried that they will. The kids are worried they're going to fail their GCSEs. And they see this dog that looks suspiciously like Toto. Well, Aaron does anyway. They chase a dog that looks like her dead dog. They run into a church and find the woman who hates Joe.
You actually skipped just one brief thing because it is again a running theme. Mary threatens to kill Aaron over this stuff involving the dog, school, whatever.
And so they run into a church and find the woman who hates Joe there, and she like goes into the confessional.
The bingo cheater.
Yeah, the bingo cheater, and she's just like, I want my pan back or something. And
Claire is praying.
Yeah, they end up praying and see the Mary statue, and Claire thinks that she's like the Mary statue is smirking at her. And Michelle also says that she sees that. And then Aaron sees the dog go to the upper level of the church, and so she follows it, and the dog pees on the floor, which seeps through the floor and gets onto the Mary statue underneath it, making it look like she's crying.
Yes.
And so the kids think
it's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
And so they go, and Aaron goes along with this in part because she's been trying her darndest to get out of taking the exam that day. And so when they realize, hey, if we've taken a miracle, they can't make us take the exam, they go and tell Sister Michael about it. And she calls a priest. And the priest who arrives is Father Peter, or as we like to call him, Father What a Waste. So he shows up. He's very attractive. And each of them has a comment about it. It's,
even James.
Oh, I like his shiny hair. Mm-hmm. He takes off his collar to be more like them. And James asks him, like, so is that gel or who's in your hair?
And Peter's like, loose.
And
Peter, in the meantime, gets introspective about whether or not he even believes in God.
Yeah.
And
this is renewing my faith in God, if he actually saw all these things.
The kids bring up the dog, but Aaron immediately tampers that down by being like, oh, there was no dog. That's not important to the story. And
she also is thinking that Father Peter's into her.
Yeah, she thinks that for whatever reason.
It's insane.
She lets the attention get to her. The priest starts to think it was her dog coming back from the dead. And so they want to dig up the dog from the backyard.
The dog.
And they decide, Aaron confesses to her friends about the dog peeing. And so they're just like, okay, well, we need to get to the dog before then. And so we take the dog's body out of the box. And so it seems like we did see a miracle.
Right.
And so they dig up the dog's box and it's empty. It's empty already. And the mom stopped. And so Peter is like, oh yeah, well, this clearly is a miracle. And Mary is looking suspicious. Mm. And so she walks out of the room and she makes
a
phone call.
Like, I mean, Ellie. Aaron is kind of like, hey, mom looks suspicious. And she clocks it right away.
And so Mary goes into the other room to make a phone call to this random woman. And it's actually the person that Joe hates. Bingo cheater. And Aaron catches her red-handed, and Aaron's like, and I think Mary was like, oh, that was years ago, don't worry, I think grandpa's over it. And then Aaron just yells the name of the bingo cheater just into the house, and I think Joe from like across the house is like, that no good son of a bitch or something like that. And so clearly not good. So Mary apparently gave the dog dog didn't die. Toto was given to Maureen Malarkey, who was the bingo cheater. And so
because her dog died and I felt sorry for her, and he was a shit dog anyway. And Aaron's kind of like, no, he wasn't, it's my dog.
And she's like, go get over it, Aaron. And so they then the group gets their pictures taken because it really does seem like they've seen a miracle. And Aaron tries to flirt with the priest. He confesses he was having a crisis of faith about a girl, but he got a sign with the miracle.
And Aaron's thinking, oh, you have a crisis of faith about me. And so she admits the hoax. Mm-hmm. And he's a little bit disheartened, mm-hmm. but it makes the front page of the local paper that there is a wicked hoax.
Oh, and also during this time, James has tried to dress his hair like Peter, and everyone's calling him out on it.
Yeah,
their hoax is on the front page of the newspaper, and they sit for their exam anyway.
Yep.
That's the end of that episode.
What were your best parts?
Sister Michael and Claire.
Yeah.
Claire, especially for the lines of someone being like, how many energies have you had? And she's like, I don't know, 5 or 23. I don't know.
I like, my best part is that they know how to end these vignettes. They just like, you know, they don't push it too
They're
long.
They're snappy.
I love it. Yeah. What were your worst parts?
Aaron.
I didn't like Mary and the dog.
Oh, and Mary, yes. And so overall,
what grade?
I
gave it a B+.
I gave it a B+ as well.
Yeah,
I think it's funnier than the. Actually, I think it's funnier than the last one. So I'm gonna give the other one a B.
Yeah, I'm giving this a B+.
Okay,
so
season 1, episode 4, the school is welcoming the children of
Chernobyl.
You go ahead and do this one.
So welcome kids of Chernobyl, and Orla is talking about the nesting dolls, Russian nesting dolls, because they have all these, you know, stereotypes in their head about, you know, what these kids from Russia are like. They make a change. And Sarah's making a change in collection basket. So they're actually at church at mass, and Sarah's making change in the collection basket, which one should not do. Sister Michael wants to get back and start watching Rawhide. So she kind of rushes through some of the things that they're doing. There's a girl who's Ukrainian who's supposed to stay with Aaron because Aaron was her pen pal. And they basically are using this girl as an object. Like, we got a Ukrainian who's staying with us. And how cool is that? Michelle is actually attracted to one of the other Russian kids. And she's like, I won't lose the rest of my virginity to that guy. What do you mean the rest of your virginity? Claire realizes.
Well, I suppose I can see. No, I don't. Never mind.
So the Ukrainian girl starts talking about how petty their war is, the civil war that they're having over, you know, religion Catholic versus Protestant that they're having in Northern Ireland. And she's like, oh yeah, all of us know about it. We just think it's stupid. And Claire is like, you know, in the big picture, you know, this kind of fight is stupid. Because what she says is like, you're all part of the same religion.
It's just a different umbrella.
Yeah, it's just a different part of the umbrella, even.
And so
she's kind of like, this is just dumb. And Claire's kind of like, hey,
it is dumb.
Wait a minute. So they then hire the Russian is like all into James. And so she starts like hitting on James, making out with him.
And everyone's like, oh my God, why are you making out with James? Even though he's an attractive guy.
He is an attractive guy. But they're like, he's gay. Oh, wait, maybe he's not gay. And so the thing, I think there's this whole sequence that is super.
Can I do the line though?
You can, please go.
Okay, so Mary is trying to decipher what Joe is up to because Joe at mass was winking at somebody and she's trying to figure out who she thinks that he has a girlfriend. And so she was like, oh yeah, I saw that you went to this bakery today. You got a cream horn, which you've never gotten and you don't like. And then you went down this street. I've never seen you go down Pump Street with a cream horn. And then
sexual innuendo?
And she thinks that he has a girlfriend. And he's just like, yes, I have met somebody. And this is my favorite line.
We were at Stations of the Cross.
Mom, I said I was going to do the line. We met at the Stations of the Cross. Aaron says, which station? And he says, Jesus Falls a second time.
Too funny.
It's very Catholic humor, but it's so fucking funny.
So funny. So
as someone who had to like participate in the Stations of the Cross. I was Mary Magdalene, the whore. And it was very, very funny.
Someone brought her a cream horn.
I was supposed to be Mary the Immaculate, but no, I got to be the whore Mary.
Because you meet one. Well, right.
Whoa, what?
Not at all.
I was in seventh grade. Eighth grade.
I'm not saying anything else. So Maeve, Maeve is the girl's name, the woman's name.
Yes.
And Jerry's trying to be supportive of Joe, and Joe just, it will take nothing, even a supportive thing from Jerry. Jerry can do no right in Joe's eyes. So he's just repelling every positive thing that Jerry has to say about this. Mary is upset, and Joe acts like the fact that Mary is upset is Jerry's fault.
And Mary's upset because she's like, and our mother's not even cold in her grave. And then and Jerry's like, your mother died 10 years ago.
Exactly. So Aaron is upset about the Ukrainian girl, and she, Claire is seeing, the bigger picture now with all the human race and all these things. And so they go and there's going to be a party.
Well, Jenny, first of all, they're in this diner or whatever. And yeah. Jenny comes in with her Ukrainian on a leash.
So funny. It is really funny. You're talking about S&M. So, and he's not allowed to speak. He's not allowed to speak.
Well, he doesn't speak.
He looks terrified.
Well, she says that he keeps trying to run off. And that's why she has him on the leash. And so Aaron's crush comes into the
David
diner,
Donnelly.
And he is going to be the DJ at the party. And so they're all kind of like, oh yeah, no, we're definitely going to go now. And so later that night, Aaron and Katya, the Ukrainian girl, are getting ready for the party, and Katya forgets her purse in Aaron's room. And Aaron looks inside it, and she's like, oh no. And apparently it was full of condoms. And so they all go to the party. Aaron goes to the group, and she tells them that she found condoms in Katya's bag. She's worried that she's going to take James's virginity, which is none of her business, but fun.
Right. She also wants to see David, and they're having this disco in the basement. Claire is wearing a Union Jack t-shirt, and everyone is very it's something English. And Claire's just like, it's a pattern on a shirt. Orla is getting into the chocolate fountain. They line dance on the floor because it's their dance.
But Aaron doesn't want James to lose his virginity with somebody he doesn't love, right, which is a sweet sentiment, but it's his decision.
Exactly.
It's up to James.
It's James's
and
call.
Mary, meanwhile, Mary is distraught and in full funeral garb with Sarah in the living room, just being like, oh, I can't believe Joe is trying to move on from our mother.
They're in mourning to meet this Maeve woman. And Jerry's kind of like, oh, but it's going to be fine. We then cut back to Aaron, who is trying to talk to Danny.
No, Maeve comes over. I'm sorry. And the daughters are very passive aggressive.
Oh, yeah. Joe and Maeve, pray. And also,
I think Mary says something like, in my mother's house. And Jerry's like, this is our house. Your mother never lived here.
What are you talking about? Are you insane? And so a lot of this is intercut at this point. But Aaron is trying to talk to Danny at the party. David, I'm sorry, at the party.
It's like, who's Danny?
And we also see that
the Ukrainian boy that Jenny has is being chased down by Michelle, who wants to have sex with him,
right,
which is definitely the way to go and have sex.
Then we find out is an actual guy named Clive. Mm-hmm. Clive had been coming home from Ibiza and got lost. Ended up on the same plane as these Ukrainians, and Jenny just won't leave him alone. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to escape and go home, but he's unable to.
Yeah.
Aaron is obnoxious.
And she tells James about this, the whole thing about sex, and he's like, oh, I already know. I'm getting my energy up before I go.
I'm DTF, come on. And
Aaron threatens to go and watch. And he's just like, whoa, no. And he starts going up the stairs, and David stops Aaron. Hey, Aaron, do you want to sneak a beer or something? And Aaron's like, give me 1 second, because this is more important than you. And so she goes upstairs. And she goes into the same room that Michelle and Clive are, and they get Clive's backstory and all that. And James is looking for Katia and can't find her, and he's all upset. And Aaron, and then when Katia finally shows up, and like they're him, James and Katia are about to go into another room, Aaron follows them into the hallway, and he and she's like, you're paying her for sex. And because throughout the night, Aaron has been seeing, like talking to like all these Ukrainians who are like trying to give Katya money for something or other, and so she's thinking that she's a prostitute, and it's not true. They were pooling money so that they can buy something nice for Jenny for throwing the party, and so Aaron looks like an absolute idiot and gets kicked out. And Katya, later that night, Katya wants to go over to Jenny's house instead of staying with Aaron, which fair enough. And Maeve tells Joe the girls aren't ready for another woman to replace their mother or anything like that.
Smart
And
move.
she's just like, hey, and Sarah had mentioned before that she wants to know how who like blows out her hair, Maeve's hair, and so she sets her up with that guy who blows out her hair. Jerry tries to tell Joe that the girls just have trouble seeing him with another woman because they think their mom is perfect, and he's like, "Go fuck yourself, Jerry." And then Joe looks at a picture of his wife and says, "Well, she was perfect," and it's very sweet. All
Aww.
right, so best parts, the lines, like that Station of the Cross line got me in a
Joe is
way,
like
and
it in this episode
Joe as
too.
well. And the
Joe's
ending
lovers.
is very, very sweet. But like that line about the Station of the Cross got me in a way nothing else was going to. Like
I'm
that hit me
Catholic school
so
girl.
hard.
Catholic school girl.
Oh, Jesus falls the second time.
Just second, right? So yeah, but I just this performance is so fucking funny. What did you have other best parts?
No, those were the three I had
So
down.
worst part for me was Aaron being just obnoxious and
Yes,
stupid.
Aaron and Jenny.
Well, Jenny's always
Jenny
obnoxious and
for
stupid.
having her Ukrainian on a leash.
Yeah,
Like,
it
what?
did seem kind of S&M though, so it was kind of
Oh my
funny.
God. Okay.
So what grade did you give this?
B plus.
I gave it a B. It was good, but
That
not a.
line made it a B plus for me.
I can see that. I can see that. So
Okay.
episode
Season one,
five.
episode five. Loud parades are happening in
It's a
Derry.
parade of the Orange Order.
And so they are concerned about riots. And so they're going to be going over the border into Ireland.
Right.
And so Sarah thinks that she is psychic and thinks that the trip will put them in danger, according to her tarot cards.
Please.
Nobody agree. Nobody thinks that she's
She
psychic.
says she's certified by some like,
Oh my,
mail-in
not all my
something. It's a
therapists
mail-in
say
kind of thing.
that.
It's like obnoxious.
And so Claire comes over and she asks if they can if she can go with the family.
Because she wants to study and she can't study with all those
She's trying to
nuns.
read Moby Dick. And Michelle's mom drops off James and Michelle to go off with the family as well. And they're talking about like what James is and how like maybe the orange guys will be on James's side. And they just say the gay thing sort of cancels out the English thing.
It's
And James is
like
like,
there's
there
no
is
God
no
gay
gay
thing.
thing.
It's just funny. So they go to borrow a tent from one of Joe's
Oh,
friends.
well, before that, the group spray painted stuff on the outside of
Somebody
their
sprayed
house.
it.
Somebody
So
did.
rebels did, not the Orange Order, because this is rebellion against the Orange Order. The
Yes.
rebel thing is on the outside of their house, and they're concerned that someone's going to get them in trouble for it. So they go to get this tent from the friend of Joe, and that guy, again, being an old guy, wants to talk about the double glazing on his windows and how you can hear things and whatever. He keeps opening and closing the
How you
window.
cannot hear things in there.
So they finally get the tent. Joe puts James in charge of the tent. Joe takes the map and is going to drive. And it's an ongoing joke that Joe drives like a zillion miles an hour, but apparently never looks at maps because, despite the fact that Jerry had a whole plan to get around the parade, they
And
wind
also
up
drives for a living.
and drives for a living. They wind up in the middle of the parade.
Wait, I think that there's a line of Jerry saying, "Oh, well, I drive for a living," and Joe says, "Don't say that like it's something to feel accomplished about."
Right. So the Joe starts cursing at the orange men with the windows open so they can hear it. The orange men start rocking actually Jerry's car. We hear Holiday by Madonna playing. Yeah. Jerry
has, oh, also Michelle asks for a tarot card reading and finds out she'll meet her future husband soon.
Right. So Jerry apparently pretended to be a lost Japanese tourist to get out of the parade that like the orange men finally let them out. Mary is having a panic attack over something being in the trunk, and that she there's like, wait, it could be in the trunk. And they go to look in the trunk. They pull over to look into the trunk to see if it's there. And there's a guy in the trunk. And he's like, oh, nice to meet you, and shuts himself back in. There's this big discussion between Joe and Jerry. Like, Jerry's like, we need to turn this guy in. And Joe's kind of like, oh, you're a spoilsport. And you know, he's a rebel, he's one of us, kind of thing. They then go to a diner. And meanwhile, and this is just background. This is like Claire's identity. She panics about losing her bookmark. Mm-hmm. So
I lost my page.
So James wants to know why. Jerry wants to know why they don't call. Oh, James wants to know why they don't just call the police. It's like, that's not how things are done here.
And he's like, will someone please explain it to me?
And
me.
Right, exactly. And no one will explain it. They while they're out of the cars, Erin hears a ticking and she's like, oh, everything's gonna explode.
It was just the big clock that they also stored with them. I don't know why.
Right, that was a big discussion too. Joe agrees to drive the guy who's in the trunk. Michelle then thinks the trunk guy is hot, of course.
Well, no, he's Michelle thinks not. That he's the one that she's is going to be her future husband.
But she also is like, I want to have sex with him. And it's like, he's not hot.
Sorry to this actor.
But okay. Yeah, so the cards are being done to see whether or not they should like drive this guy or not. But instead it comes up with, oh, Mary, you should leave Jerry. Yeah. Sarah is just hopeless. It's sad. Erin keeps having hysterics. Joe calls Jerry a wuss for not wanting to drive the guy. Jerry calls down a waitress because they kind of taunt him into it, and she cries. And then
she was being a bad waitress.
She was being a bad waitress, but then when he calls her down and she cries, they're all like, oh, that was badly done. Jerry's like,
and he's like, you told me to do it.
Yeah. We find out that the trunk guy's name is Emmett. Emmett then steals the tent and jumps into somebody else's trunk. And Joe is most upset about the loss of the tent and is mad at James.
Because he put James in charge of the tent. And the moment when he put him in charge of the tent, like, he's just like, I don't want that responsibility. No, please don't do that.
Anything.
Yeah. I shouldn't be in charge of anything.
Yep.
Jerry tells the family, also, you missed this entire part of the guy went to the bathroom and spray painted the wall of the bathroom with the rebel symbols.
Oh.
And Jerry went to the bathroom after the whole blow up with the waitress and saw the spray paint and was like, okay, so he spray painted our house. And so he goes back and he's like, hey, we shouldn't take this guy. Who's the guy who spray painted our house. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, you're so right. And then you see the guy escaping. And then, yeah, what a man plays. anyway,
so what were your best parts?
Joe and Jerry, I love their back and forth in this episode.
Joe and Jerry are my best part.
James and music.
I did not put James, although he is the best part. And the music.
James being like, why can't we just call the police? And then them being like, you don't understand. It's like, I don't understand.
It's an Irish thing. All right. So what were your worst parts?
Bit boring.
Erin was my
and Erin.
Yeah. And it was a bit boring. So I gave this a C.
I gave it a B minus.
I gave it a C.
Okay, well, good for you, Mom.
And the last episode
of season one, episode 6. Mary is asking the family for darks for her load of laundry because she doesn't want to do a half load. I get it.
She is very, very, very anal about this.
The kids come back from school and give their pants and blazers and give it a full
ice,
load.
Ice babies.
Yes, the kids do the dishes in their underwear, and Orla is doing step aerobics and won't give it up.
It's like an obsession. She is OCD about doing step aerobics.
And Mary is like, all right, time for whites. And they're all wearing white t-shirts, like white button downs. And they're like, I'm not doing that.
And she's like, no, we're doing it.
And then Joe and Jerry go to the shops. Jerry is picking up Mary's photographs from her birthday.
But there's a special card he needs.
A necessary slip. and they even take out a photo that is in one of like in the pack, and it has Jerry in it, and he's like, "That's me." And then the store clerk's like, "I don't know.
It could be you." And then he asks Joe to vouch for him. Jerry does, and Joe's like, "I've never seen him a day
before in my life." And then
he's such a dick.
Aaron is assisting at the school magazine. They will be searching. Will be searching for myself writing competition.
Yes.
And the current editor won't return by the end of the year, and no one steps up as editor in solidarity except for Aaron, because Aaron wants the spotlight. Right. And they are then
the rest of the staff are like, ugh.
And then back home, they're all looking for the slip, and Joe tries to get Mary to have an annulment just over this. And she's like, "I'm not going to annul him." And also, you can't get an annulment now. And the slip was in the pocket of one of the white pants in the white load that makes the whole load pink.
Including the uniform shirts. So all of the group are now in pink shirts. They go, because the magazine writers quit, Aaron and the group basically take over writing the school magazine. We see that James can't type. Claire can't use a copier. Aaron is panicking because she doesn't have any good ideas. Like, she has a thing about shoes that she wants to
shoes do. Of the world.
Shoes of the world.
Or animals.
But shoes of the world, her idea of shoes of the world is like, people in Russia wear boots. You know, it's really nonspecific. And so it's kind of like, oh, that's just sad.
And then celebrities who look like animals.
Celebrities who look like animals, right? So she's Scorny realizing, looks oh like my a God, cat. I have no good ideas. So they decide to go into the contest materials to steal an idea for the contest. They see a piece that is written from the perspective, it's an anonymous piece written from the perspective of a lesbian at the school. And Claire...
They immediately assume it's James, right, even though it's a lesbian.
Right. And, well, maybe it's not James. It's definitely gay. But Claire's like, you know, that should be published. It's personal. It's
agreed.
Yeah. When they come up with the idea and they do a mock-up, Sister Michael's like, nope, we're not doing this.
No, but first of all, when they read it, I think Aaron says, we have a real-life lesbian walking among us. Like, what?
This is new.
I know it's the 90s, but Jesus Christ.
Like, it's really not that
common. And even at that, but even at that point, like, the AIDS crisis has already happened in the U.S. in the
80s. That was 80s, and that was primarily men.
Yeah, but still, so, they're whatever.
I'm not saying,
I don't live in an age where it's a problem, so
right,
you don't
don't get it.
And this was made during an age where it wasn't a problem, and so they capitalize on that by making it really awkward.
Right.
Claire leaves because she doesn't agree with what they're doing, and Sister Michael will not allow it to be printed.
James is like, that's censorship, and Sister Michael's like,
yes, you're being censored. And Joe goes in to get the photo, but the clerk can't accept the slip because it's in pieces. But the clerk likes Sarah.
Sarah shows up with Joe because she's like comparing perfumes or something, and the clerk's kind of like, oh, but Kieran, I remember you. I remember you from the pictures. You must, we will take the, let you have the pictures. This is excellent.
They invite Kieran to dinner.
They do, but part of this is funny is that Joe at this dinner, they're talking about this lesbian piece, and Aaron's very upset that it's not getting published. And Joe is confusing lesbians with vegetarians.
This is funny.
It is. And Orla's in the background like, I just don't know what they eat.
And then Mary is just like, fine, Aaron, just do it. Like, just publish it if you want to. And so they hand out pamphlets of the story out to the school. Michelle and James talk about how popular the girl will be when she reveals.
I want to back up to one thing, because as soon as Jenny is like, oh my God, this is terrible, we shouldn't be doing it, Sister Michael's like, must be cool. Yeah. This must be okay because Jenny hates it.
Then Michelle, they have the conversation about how popular the girl will be when she reveals herself, and Michelle announces to the school that she's a lesbian, but no one believes her. Right. Claire then goes to Aaron and confesses that she is the lesbian.
And Aaron's kind of like, no!
Aaron's like, don't come out to me! Stop coming out to me right now! It's awful! And that she's, oh, I'm not interested
in you! Go back in!
She's like, go back into the closet! Go back in! And Claire's just like, I'm not going to. And also, I don't find, you're not my type. Like, I'm not, no.
Yeah, so Erin, I think, had misunderstood part of that.
Absolutely. She misunderstood all of it.
Erin is shocked and upset. We then go to an assembly. It's like a talent show at the end of the year or something. And Jenny is singing The Rose very, very badly. And everyone's kind of singing, they're trying to die, including Sister Michael. Sister Michael gets up and's like, oh, this makes me appreciate how good professionals actually are.
Well, first, Erin feels bad about losing Claire as a friend. And James sits with Claire out of solidarity because he agrees that Erin did a really shitty thing.
True.
And while Jenny is singing, the piano player is the girl from the magazine that we saw earlier but didn't mention because she wasn't really worth mentioning. And she's like singing very softly and better than Jenny, but she's doing it softly and doesn't want to be heard. And so Orla goes up and does her step routine. And people are laughing at her, and like the person in front of Erin is like, she's such a dick. And she's just Erin's like, well, she's my dick.
She might be a dick, but she's my dick. And then Claire's like,
our dick.
She's our dick. Michelle and James join it, and Claire and Erin all join Orla on the stage, and they're doing step aerobics, and it's really cute.
Yeah, and then the family.
This is intercut, though, yes.
The family is watching the news about a fatal riot that happened recently.
Right, so 12 people were killed in a shooting that's happening. And then you hear the Cranberry song playing. And again, you really kind of juxtapose the semi-normal element of what is going on at school with this incredibly tragic reality that the
backdrop
people are living in. And it's so, but you do see solidarity from everybody, including Joe puts a hand on Jerry's shoulder because he realizes.
And they don't make a big thing about it. They show it, but you don't see like Jerry's reaction to it being like looking at his hand like, ooh.
Right.
No, it's just a quiet moment.
But that's what I love about this show is like nothing, it is all done. It's all done very well and organically. And you get to see the character development and all that kind of stuff. But you're never beaten over the head with it. And
yes.
I think that's part of what is great about the show. So what were your best parts?
My best parts were the photo stuff. That particular interchange where they literally take out a photo of Jerry and it's like, I don't know if it's you. And Claire for standing up for herself and coming out and feeling comfortable enough with herself to do that. And also calling Erin arrogant because she's being arrogant, and James for being in solidarity with Claire in that he knows what Erin did was wrong, and so he is sitting with Claire to make her feel better instead.
Well, I would put it under a broader umbrella. I would call it coming together against adversity. And I think that they all do it in the end,
and also the step aerobics.
Yeah, I feel like the groups definitely have a level of solidarity that they, when they feel splintered, recognize and come back together. And I think that's great. What was your worst part?
Erin's lack of integrity.
Oh, see, my worst part was Jenny being just dreadful.
Well, Erin being like, get back in the closet. I'm not interested. Like, whoa.
You were not alive then.
I wasn't, and I still think it's a bad thing.
I think it's a bad thing, but I can see a real child, and that's what she was.
Obviously, she's making a mistake, and she obviously has character flaws, and that's fine. I like a flawed protagonist more than I like a perfect one. But saying that to your friend when they're trying to come out to you is so wrong in so many ways, regardless of the time. I think it's still wrong to be like, get back in the closet, I'm not interested in you, and that's why you're coming out to me, because you're interested in me. Being that self-absorbed, being like, oh, you like me.
I think children do that.
Sure, but like, don't vocalize it.
That's fair. So my worst part was Jenny. What grade did you give this?
A B.
I gave it an A-.
I might give it a B+.
Okay. And we are going to have two more seasons of Dairy Girls, although I think we're going to do one more season, go back to Bridgerton.
What do you mean? Like, it's only going to be one episode, Mom.
Whatever.
I think we're going to finish Dairy Girls and then we'll go back to Bridgerton.
Something like that. Anyway, we are looking forward to sharing Dairy Girls and Bridgerton with you.
We're really excited about Bridgerton.
We are. We can't help it. And I guess we're going to keep saying like it over and over again. And I do want to say that not only Nicole Coughlan, but all of them are excellent on the show. But her performance, again, like the fact that she can go, she is so in touch with that insecurity is just beautifully done. It's really, really great. So in any case, we are looking forward to sharing this all with you. We hope that you join us. And
cheers.